The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN125.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Right, Damian Williams, Mahomes, scrambling to the right side, holding it, pump faking, diving for the far front pylon. Does he have it? Touchdown! Kansas City, Mahomes runs it in. Stretching out the football for the right far front pylon. And the Chiefs answer the block punt for a touchdown with a long drive touchdown.
Goff under center, hands the ball off on a delay. Gurley, a huge run up the middle. He's gone. 20, 10 to the 5. Sprints past the Rougier. Touchdown, Gurley. 35 yards, and the Rams have just taken control of this game.
Hogan left and Edelman right. Brady turns, gives to Michelle, runs up the middle, pushing the pile, driving his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Wow, this kid has been special through two quarters. The extra surge.
2x2 formation. Snap gets off before the two-minute warning. Foles in the pocket, throws, and the ball's intercepted. Both the hands of Jeffries. Marshawn Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore with his second interception of the game returns it to the 34. And better than any time this season, Saints, go take a photograph.
Well, we've got a Final Four and no real upsets. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Tyler Scott filling in for Jong Lee for one more day if you want to get in. 713.
Maybe one more day. We may just stick with this.
Yeah, you like this?
I don't know. I mean,
we'll see. He got the intro right today.
Yeah, he got it
that's
right.
A big start.
And he's here, which is another, I mean, that's
a positive.
That's important.
If you want to get in, 713-780-ESP is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T Scott. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and no matter how you're listening, whether it's on the stream or whether you're watching us on live stream or listening on regular radio or on the app, thanks for tuning in. Hope you guys had a great weekend. How's it going, Hoffman?
Going sports, man. Didn't have the greatest betting weekend. I had four plays. Two big ones, two small ones.
Yep.
Won my two small ones. Did not win my two big ones, so that's that puts a negative on the thing.
That's in the red. We call that, which I went one and two on my plays. So one of them was a big one, one of the losses. So not great.
But the Colts was, I felt like it was a really strong play. And then after talking to RJ last week, I thought that team total over 30 was a really strong
on the
play.
Saints, yeah.
And it just didn't work out. And nope. Both those games went way differently than I would have thought. And honestly, I didn't feel – I mean, anytime you lose the kind of money I lost on the Colts game, you feel bad. But that game could have easily been covered. And I know it's not like the Colts played well enough to deserve a cover.
No.
But three things jump out at me. First of all, Adam Vinatieri leaves 4 points on the field, which when you're handicapping that game, you never expect Adam Vinatieri to miss a 23-yard field goal and an extra point. I mean,
never happens.
He missed two kicks that he never misses, particularly in the playoffs. And then there's a 14-point swing on the running into the kicker call, which I completely disagreed with. That you can't call that there.
No.
I mean, the kicker basically, he jumped up and he landed on top of the defender. The defender didn't run into him. And it's not the NBA, like where you've got to get out of the way before he lands on you. He didn't touch him and the kicker landed on him. So the Chiefs go on to score 7 points then instead of zero. And then when the Colts are driving down, I mean, Andrew Luck throws a perfect pass. It hits this guy right in the hands and he drops it. I don't know how much better a ball can hit you than what that ball hit him. And he dropped it in the end zone. So that's an easy 14-point swing. So again, I'm not saying that like the Colts were clearly the right side, but there were just a few moments where it's like, man, this should have been a one-score game. And the Colts didn't take advantage of those moments.
Yeah, although I kind of feel like the game reminded me a lot of last week's against the Texans. The Chiefs got the big lead and then started coasting, which, considering their history, I don't think was a great idea.
No.
Because they blew a similar lead to the Titans last year. But this is a different team. And I think they're going to beat the Patriots. I really do. I think this is their year. That's a good football team. And you know, I know everybody, there's always the instant overreaction to the last game. You're like, oh, well, the Colts weren't that great. Yeah, the Colts were playing really good football.
They
ran into a team that played its ass off. And I think is a legitimate threat to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, and all this like, oh, well, Adam Vinatieri's done. The guy had a great year. He just happened to have a crap game at the wrong time.
Game.
So.
Well, and speaking of overreaction to the last – well, first of all, in that Chiefs game, no one expected the Chiefs defense to show up and be what they were. I think that's kind of the real surprise is they just – they shut them down.
One of the few things I actually learned from the TV guys was that their defense was giving up half as many points at home as they were on the road, which I hadn't realized this year, and they looked like that. They really did play well on defense.
But if you told me – or if I told you the Chiefs aren't – or the Colts aren't going to score an offensive touchdown, you would have laughed.
Yeah, I would have thought they pulled up the game plan from the Jacksonville game somehow.
Yeah.
Because, after watching that team last week, I thought the Chiefs had a really good scheme against them. They got to Andrew Luck.
They did score one. I forgot. The one that they missed the extra point on. So they scored one. But they didn't score one until the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And, hey, you get that block punt, that's your chance to get back in the game, too.
I thought momentum was swinging right there.
But then the Chiefs did what you're supposed to do in that situation. And I think they looked really good. The Saturday night game with the Rams and the Cowboys, that's another one I just didn't think was nearly as competitive as the final score
says, yeah.
But then again, Cowboys fans are all melting down. And I would just say, if you look at the Cowboys, they have things they can get better at, but there's not glaring weaknesses. Like with the Texans, you can look at that offensive line and say, that's a glaring weakness that has to be addressed. The Cowboys, like, you could add some pass rush. Yeah, you could add some secondary help. Another receiver wouldn't hurt. But they're not, like, if they go into next year with that group, there's not weaknesses there.
Yeah, Dak played pretty well. I think you got to be pretty pleased with the way Dak played. And honestly, if I told you before the game, Dak Prescott's going to go for 266, one touchdown rushing, one touchdown passing, sacked one time, and no turnovers, you say, oh, man.
I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I feel real good about that. But they just couldn't stop the run. And that was sort of their calling card all year long, was stopping the run. And, you know, it didn't matter who was running the ball. Todd Gurley or C.J. Anderson just had their way with that defense. And the Rams end up running for 273 on the Cowboys. And it's not the way that I pictured the game going. But I did say, and the reason why I didn't want to bet the Cowboys was if they got down early, they were in trouble. And they did. They were down 27 at the half. And the Rams just ran the ball down their throat for the rest of the game. And the Cowboys aren't equipped to really come back.
Did C.J. Anderson look like he needed mouth-to-mouth after every run?
C.J. Anderson looks like you. I'm not. I mean, no offense to you, but
I was thinking the same
You and C.J. Anderson have very similar body types right now. It's incredible that he was just a man.
Yeah, they couldn't bring him down.
It's crazy. That guy was like on the couch 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, but they looked really good on offense, especially, and I think that's going to set up nicely for that Saints game, which
that's going to be such a great game.
Yeah, I think we're going to get two really good ones next week. I thought we would get at least two good ones this week. We got one out of three, I mean the others were over early, and you know there were. It's just once the Chiefs got up, once the Patriots got up 35-7. And those games were over.
Well, the Patriots game, you could argue they were the most dominant team this week. And no disrespect to the Chiefs who played really well, but the Patriots could have won that game 60-10 if they wanted. They're built to beat that Chargers team, it looks like. And they couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop the ball coming out of the backfield. The Patriots just did what they wanted in that game, at least for the first half. And then basically you saw them say, okay,
yeah, we got this,
we're good.
And they did all that with Gronk looking like he just doesn't want to play anymore.
Yeah,
that's he just doesn't look like the same guy. He just looks like a big dude out there now. He's still blocking pretty well, but he's not getting open, and he's not getting that separation he used to get.
Well, he only got one target the whole game. Yeah. Caught it for 25 yards. I mean, I guess that's the positive, but they just don't seem like they're worried about involving him in the game plan. But it was pretty obvious going in that they were going to – and of the 44 passes that Tom Brady threw, 30 of them went to Julian Edelman or James White.
Yeah.
They were going to dink and dunk their way to a win, and they did. And you know, obviously those guys, you got to make plays after the catch, and both guys made some awesome plays after the catch. And then you count the fact that Sony Michel just dominated in the ground game, and it was a really dominant showing for the Patriots. And Rivers, if you look at his final stat line, it'll tell you a lie about how well he played, because
there were a lot of empty yards in there.
Oh, 25-51, 331, three touchdowns, one pick. Almost all those yards came after the game was well decided.
Yeah, and he also had the big play early that gave him a big number, but they got to him as well. And then the Saints-Eagles game, which was the most competitive of all of them, I think once again, you know, although, well, I'm going to give Sean Payton credit for a gutsy call on that.
The fake punt?
Fake punt. But I actually was sitting there going, this would be a really good time to do it. And yeah, you know, and it just looked like the Eagles weren't prepared. But
how when Taysom Hill is on the field,
yeah, how and he's basically lined up in a shotgun.
How are you not prepared for that? That's if I see that guy on the field, I'm instantly red alert. Like it's very odd that they were just acting like okay, ho hum. Maybe, and it's because it was in that part of the field,
yeah,
which made it an even ballsier call, but. If you bring that guy out on the punt team, I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to keep an eye out here. And I don't know how often he's on the punt team, but
he's on it a lot.
Then yeah. I'd be a red alert every time because that guy, that's what he's there for.
But the odd thing though is, as ballsy as he was there, he got really conservative later in the game and made some really, you know. And I think Sean Payton is, if he's not the best play caller in the league, he's in the top three certainly. But I thought he was way too conservative. And when they had all the momentum going, they could have easily put that game away. And a lot of silly mistakes, like getting a loss of 4 yards on a running play and having to kick a 53-yard field goal. Just a weird play call in that situation.
Yeah, and I'm starting to – I think Saints fans should be concerned about the way their offense performed.
Well, because this has been going on for about a month now.
Yeah, and and they played exactly how they've played in the last month. That we were like, are the Saints? Which Saints are going to show up? Well, the old Saints showed up. Luckily, defensively, they played well enough after the first quarter to basically shut it down. And you know, I know the whole story going in was Nick Foles. How great is Nick Foles? Well, Nick Foles was 18 of 31 with two picks.
You know what, though? He
201 yards of passing.
But if you're the Saints and you give that guy the ball with that little time left.
Oh, they had to be scared.
And
that missed field goal scared them.
And the going through, you know, and poor Alshon Jeffrey, who I think is a hell of a player.
I feel bad for him.
I do, too. That ball goes through his hands. And, you know, credit to Lattimore for getting the pick. But those Saints corners were pretty good the whole game, both Apple and Lattimore. And entertaining game. And I mean, I'm fired up because I do think the Saints will be able to limit some of what the Rams were doing. But I think that Saints offense is going to have to get back to where it was if they're going to have a chance to beat that team, even at home.
Agreed.
All right, guys. Hey, want to get in on some Greyhound racing? One place to go, Gulf Greyhound Park. And if you're into simulcasting, they got you covered 7 days a week. Gates open daily at 11 a.m. But how about live racing? If you want to see live Greyhound racing, it doesn't happen very often down here anymore. Right now, you can go Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 7 o'clock, and on Sundays at noon. We're going to be out there the first week of February. And the thing is, this meet's only lasting till late February. So if you want to get a chance to see live Greyhound racing in person, especially when you got beautiful days like we've had the last couple, it's great to go out there and watch the races. It's located at Exit 15 off the Gulf Freeway in Lamarck. You can go to gulfgreyhound.com for more information. Live racing Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday at 7 p.m., and on Sundays at noon, simulcasting 7 days a week, every day starting at 11 a.m. You can get more information at gulfgreyhound.com. That's gulfgreyhound.com. Live Greyhound racing now.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Some breaking news from FootballScoop.com. Dana Holgorsen is reportedly going to hire Joe Coughlin to be his defensive coordinator. He was the guy at Arkansas State. He's been there 5 years. The Red Wolves have finished in the top five in scoring defense in the Sun Belt for the past four seasons. His defense has also registered a lot of negative plays. They ranked in the top 25 nationally in sacks in each of the past three seasons.
All right.
So we'll see how that plays out. That seems like a logical step up for a guy who's had some success at that level. Couple of things. A lot of people say Taysom Hill's always on the punt team. Yeah, he's been out there every time I've seen him.
How are you not always aware that there's a fake punt possibility, particularly that? You know, that type
of
play.
Close. Yeah, that's a hard one to not get the way that the Eagles defended it. And they almost stopped it, but I just thought that was a great play. And I'm excited to see that matchup next week. Keith says these posts with Dynamo are causing my wife to demand a Dalmatian. You know what? She's much cuter than I am, so that's why. I'm actually going to start an Instagram account for her. This is how I'm going to get into Instagram.
Ah, yes.
It's going to be her account making fun of me. So, okay. Hopefully it'll be funny and entertaining. Plus, you know, people love puppies. We took her to watch the Saints game at our little neighborhood bar, and she would just, the second week in a row, she's just like a huge hit. People just stop and want to pet her and get pictures taken. And of course she's enjoying it. She likes being a little goddess. 713-780-ESPN 832 says, so the other day you guys were talking about redheads being in demand for sperm donations.
That's right.
I'm a 6'2 redhead with two master's degrees. This would have been nice to know earlier because as I was listening to you guys, my wife was driving me home from my vasectomy.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, we report the news as soon as we get it. We did the best we could. So the other big story today is that, you know, Kyler Murray declaring for the draft, but he's kind of keeping his options open here with the A's.
I don't know what's true at this point, if $15 million is really the number he was asking for. If I'm the A's, I just say, okay, dude, good luck. Have fun. because baseball baseball prospects are so hit or miss.
But you know what? If they do say yes, and I saw somebody tweet this out, and I don't remember who it was, but I thought it was a really good point, that if he manages to get $6 million more dollars out of him by leveraging himself that his super agent Scott Boras couldn't do,
yeah,
then good on him. I think, you know, and we'll talk to Lance 5:30, and I think most scouts are saying second or third round grade, but guys that have second and third round grades at quarterback tend to get drafted in the first round because everybody's so desperate. I could see him being a late pick of a old Patriots or somebody that they could stash.
I could see that.
Yeah, but I think if it really, to me, it comes down to what do you want to do? And it's easy for us to say, oh, he should take the baseball money, or oh, he should do this. I think if he wants to play football there's a team willing to draft him, do it.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, because I just think that people, I can't believe he wouldn't play baseball and not get CTE and all that stuff. It's when I was in high school, I was a better baseball player than I was a football player. But I love football, and that's how I screwed up my shoulder forever. And I have no regrets about that because I love the sport. And if he loves doing it and he's going to get paid, good for him. I think he'll do just fine.
I think he was in sort of a can't-lose situation because if it didn't work out this season, if he didn't have it the season that he thought he might, or that I don't even think he thought this season would go as well as it did for him. I doubt he went into the season thinking, oh, I'm going to win the Heisman this year. Because, I mean, given what he's done in the past, it's hard to imagine that he was going to do that. But once he did it and proved to himself, oh, man, maybe I can do this football thing, it's you're playing with house money because you already – if he would have sucked this year, that's okay. I'm going to go play baseball, and I'm a professional athlete.
And the fact that he had the year that he had and that Baker Mayfield had some success coming out of that system – It just raises his stock, and I good for him. I know he's not a fan of you, but that's okay. He is a wee lad though. That's the one thing that always concerns me with guys that small. But you know, I think the league is getting as they transition to more college type offenses. I think you can also transition to more college type quarterbacks. So, Mott says if he's going for $15 million as a negotiating baseline, he's probably only realistically shooting for 10. Yeah, I bet it they could meet in the middle. Chase asked a lot of football today, but any chance we can get some True Detective talk in the last hour? First two episodes were great. I only saw the first episode.
I watched them both, and yeah. I love it. I can't wait more. And this is where it sucks that the show's on HBO and not Netflix. I would have stayed up all night watching that show. I would have stayed up all night. I probably wouldn't have been at work today.
I would have if I hadn't been... By then, I was really tired and it had a little bit to drink, and I didn't watch the second one because you know how sometimes, I'm sure you've done this, you watch a show on Sunday night, and you don't remember a damn thing about it because you were drinking. So I decided not to watch the second one, and I was going to watch it today, but I had car problems coming in. So something called a stability track on the back of my car went this morning driving it. That's what I thought, but it's at the shop now, and I'm waiting to hear how bad the damage is, but it sounds ominous.
Mm.
That's not good.
Just smash it into somebody today.
I don't want to do that. But I had to Uber in from there. But it was weird because the car was driving a little off, and every time I stopped, it would kind of lurch a little bit. So I figured, yeah, it's busted. I better get it fixed before I die on a highway accident. Of course, then if I die on the accident and I didn't get to the place fast enough, Can my estate still sue Chevrolet?
I don't know. Like now that
because it didn't say get off the road, dickweed. It just
have they now checked it out and said, hey, this is what's wrong with your car?
Well, they've checked it out and I have not heard back from them yet.
Then you're still driving it around?
No. I dropped it off at my little auto place and took Uber back here.
Yeah, I think you're out of time now.
Well, I'm not going to die in it now unless it gets fixed and does it again. But I'm just curious.
For future reference.
I'll ask Lawyer Dave that tomorrow. I'm sure he'll be able to tell me. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Daniel asks, is the NFL going towards evaluating quarterbacks who are mobile enough to step up in the pocket or take off and have the ability to throw into tight windows? The thing is, with a really good mobile quarterback, and we saw this with Russell Wilson, you want to go back farther, we saw it with Steve Young. guys who can escape the pocket don't need to throw to such a tight window.
Yeah.
Because it's the longer they do that, the longer defensive backs are trying to cover wide receivers, they'll get a little more space and separation. You don't have to. We'll see it. We see that with Deshaun Watson. You don't have to be as accurate. And I think teams are starting to realize that, which is why they're going to the Cliff Kingsbury's and hoping that that creates an offense where they can, you know, score some points.
Yep.
Now, Josh Rosen isn't really that kind of guy.
No.
But,
you know, it's funny that I don't know, maybe I've just, the game has passed me by, but coming into this season, if you'd said which one of these quarterbacks is most NFL ready, I probably would have said Josh Rosen. You know,
yeah.
Maybe
Darnold.
Darnold was my favorite overall, and I liked his ceiling the most. But then it turns out, I mean, really, Darnold had some success this year. Josh Allen had success. Lamar Jackson had success. And these are the guys, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen in particular, who they said, these are projects. This is going to take a long time.
But they had success because they were running backs who
That's
also
true.
Threw the football. And I think the good news is...
And then Josh Rosen had the least success of the five quarterbacks who went in the first round.
Yeah. And so if I had it to do over, I might say, you know, because he's mobile and because he does some of those things, that Baker Mayfield might wind up being the best of this group, and I would not have thought that going in.
Right.
And I think that's... And maybe that... And it's a Lance question, maybe, is it, do we need to rethink how we're evaluating quarterbacks? Because I haven't been right about a lot of these guys lately.
Me neither. And now, it's for me, it's easy when there's a guy... Like Andrew Luck, who when he comes out, it's like, okay, this guy can make every throw. Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence will be easy.
And he moves around. You know, he can run like a running back. Those are rare, though. You know, it's rare that you find someone who's like a really great pocket quarterback who happens to run a 4.4 or 4.5. But so now you're like nitpicking and you're like, okay, what's this guy's size and... Is he going to be able to stay healthy? I mean, there's always questions with all these guys now.
But I'm
maybe we need to reevaluate what the most important factors are.
Really good question from Twitter. Could Rosen be the next Goff where he gets a decent coach and he pans out? I think so. That he could be, sure.
Possible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's hard to say if he got bad coaching this year.
Yeah, we don't really know. So... 713-780-ESPN is your number. Hey, new year, how about some new sleep from Texas Mattress Makers? They've got all kinds of showroom specials that are not only going to fit your pocketbook, but also your body. What I love about Texas Mattress Makers is when you walk in, you're already going to save 50% off of what you would save if you went to a retail store right off the bat. And then you're going to get a bed that's custom fitted for you. It's going to make all the difference. You're going to sleep better. You're going to feel better. And you're saving a bunch of money. The reason is they make the beds right there and sell them directly to you. And they know everything about these beds. They're wizards when it comes to these beds. They can look at how you sleep in a couple of minutes and say, hey, this is the bed for you. And then you're going to get on and go, wow, they really are like that. Yuval and his gang are fantastic. You can also check out their YouTube channel if you want tips and ideas on sleep and your health, which is great. And you know, don't be taking those old beds from people. Don't take those hand-me-downs. Go and get a new one that you're going to be able to use for years that's going to help you sleep better, where you spend a lot of your time doing it. Yuval and his gang over there are terrific. They're great in the community. You tell them you're a blitzer, they are going to give you the first-class treatment. Hint, they do that for everybody anyway, but let them know you're a blitzer. Visit them today, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, or you can go to the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey Houston, this is Tony Kent with the Houston Astros, and you're listening to the number one sports show in Houston, The Blitz, with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And a couple of things. A32S, when are the Texans going to hire an offensive coordinator? I don't think they're going to. I think you're going to wind up with the same thing. And most of the guys that I would have been interested in have been snatched up. Like Jim Caldwell is the guy I mentioned. Gary Kubiak apparently is trying to run an entire organization. The rumor is he wants to hire, you know, his whole crew of Rick Dennison and his kid if he's going to be an offensive coordinator. I'd probably do it because what the hell, but I know he's talked to the Jaguars and the Vikings. And the Vikings already hired a coordinator. but he's still worth talking to. I mean, that'd be a pretty good guy to have running your offense. But, yeah, I don't know if there's bitterness here or what. So I don't know. And I just don't think Bill O'Brien would ever want that kind of other ego in the building with him.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, that's not his MO, or at least how he appears. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. Kyle mentions that NFL is always about 15 years behind, especially older coaches feel there's only one way to win. Yeah, that's, I think that's true to an extent. There's always the let's get 3 or 4 yards on first down to get into, to stay on, you know, basically stay on program for your three downs. And that still works at times. But I also look at teams like the Chiefs and the Rams, and really all the teams that are still playing. They don't worry about 3rd and 7. They've always got to play for 3rd and 7. Yeah. That works a lot. And you know, the Colts did most of the year. They didn't
on Saturday.
No.
But they were awful on 3rd downs on Saturday.
And that really was the difference between what they'd been doing during their winning streak.
But, and that was what was wrong with the Saints.
Yeah.
So you're talking about two. I don't know if they're. I know the Colts were the number one team on 3rd down. I think the Saints were in the top 2 or 3. And they were. They, both those teams really struggled with that this weekend.
Yeah. Try some calls.
Okay.
Let's
talk to Doug. Sports to you, Doug.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
We're doing sports.
Are you there?
We're here.
Yes, sir. Well, I'd say I was calling in. I bleed burnt orange, and I'm. I just thought Ellinger had a great year, and what a great Sugar Bowl he had. And I was going to get y'all's opinion. I mean, I look through burnt orange colored glasses, so. But I love Ellinger. He's like a Tim Tebow with a little better arm, maybe. But what's y'all's take on Ellinger and projection for him in 2019 and maybe his chances of getting in the Heisman mix here?
Well, Ellinger really impressed me this year. I didn't expect much from him, and I honestly thought that by the end of this season, Shane Buechele would have won that job. And you're right, he does have a little bit of Tim Tebow to him. He's still not a great passer, but his threat of running the ball up the middle is enough that it makes him effective. I mean, if the Longhorns are, you know, in the playoff mix, he'll be in the Heisman mix.
Yeah.
I think
if he stays healthy too.
Yeah. Like, where do I compare him to guys like Jake Fromm and Tua? I'd probably lean to those guys because I assume their teams are going to have 0 or 1 losses, and I expect if that happens that those two guys have had a fantastic year. But yeah, if Ellinger does what he did last year and the team continues to improve, he could easily get into that conversation.
2-1 says, Fred, I know you don't like hip hop, but what did you think of Snoop Dogg's call of the Kings game? First off, it's not that I don't like hip hop; I just don't know it well mm-hmm. enough to be educated to comment on it. But I do know who Snoop is. How can you not? Because he's got a great agent. Whatever he's doing is working. But I don't know if you heard his call, the Kings game, but it was awesome.
You liked it?
Yeah.
All right.
I loved it. I'd love him. And everybody was wanting him to do Kings games all the time. It was just hilarious. If you haven't had a chance, it's online. Go check it out. You'll find it. And hopefully you'll enjoy it. Also, just a quick note. Found out today that the novel is now available on Apple Books. So for those of you who are waiting for Apple Books.
How are early sales?
Doing pretty well, yes.
Okay.
And we haven't, like I said, we haven't had an official launch yet. I'm waiting on confirmation, but I think the launch party is going to be the Saturday after the Super Bowl, Saturday afternoon. So launch and signing party.
Andrew, sports to you, Andrew.
Hey, sports guys, how are you doing?
We're doing all right.
Hey, I just had quick questions about this weekend's championship games, and specifically about Tom Brady and how he works so well with Josh McDaniels, and whether or not you think that once Brady retires, are the Patriots really going to find a Garoppolo 2.0 or somebody that's going to take the reins and eventually push McDaniels into that head coaching job that he's probably waiting for when Belichick eventually retires.
Yeah, my lean is that when Belichick retires, I think Belichick and Brady's retirements will come with, if not simultaneously, they'll come within a year of each other. And I expect there to be a serious rebuild, because when you look at what the Pats are, they're not an uber-talented team. I mean, they've got a special player at quarterback and a special head coach. This iteration of the Patriots isn't, you know, spectacular really anywhere else. They're okay on defense. They're okay on the O-line. You know, Edelman's fine. But
their O-line actually played really well Sunday. I got to give them credit. But they've been inconsistent.
How many of these guys, you know, have we seen, like Edelman, what's Edelman going to be post-Brady? Because we've seen a lot of those guys, those little slot guys, and then they get somewhere else, and then what are they?
Second most receptions now in the postseason behind Jerry Rice.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, he's been doing it for a while.
Yep. But, yeah, I don't think that Josh McDaniels is some sort of great coach. I think that, you know, the Brady-Belichick combo, as always, is what keeps this thing going.
Yeah, and I think he just keeps staying there because Belichick's probably told him, I don't know, I'm going year to year now.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, though, if you watch Edelman, there were at least two plays where he made the catch and then made the extra effort to get the first down. The Patriots are so good at little stuff like that. Just they really focus on where the first down line is. And it sounds like a simple thing, but how often do you see guys that get taken down a yard short when they could have reached the ball out, or they could have...
Happens a lot.
Yeah, and Edelman was really good at that on Sunday, and that extends drives, and that gives you extra opportunities to score, and it's little things that lead to points. And I thought, and that's one thing he does really, really well. Now, would he do that with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback?
Yeah.
Maybe I not. I don't know.
Well, one thing I will say is that my concern about Brady is that he's sort of faded down the stretch the last few years. Like, and even when they've won, you know, or in the playoffs, a lot of it's been, you know, Brady not having those massive games. He had a massive game yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's about 343 yards, 77% completion.
That's pretty good. And they ran the ball really well, Sonny Michel. And
they just made it easy for him.
Yeah, and when you can do that, you're going to win a lot of football games. And I think... Yeah, all this stuff. Brady's done. And yeah, if you look at, but even the two losses at the end of the season, one of them was at a desperate Pittsburgh team that came down to the wire. He made a bad pass, which he never does.
Yeah.
The other one, it took a fluke play from the Dolphins to beat him in a place where they never play well. They've done okay since.
But if you look at the last three games, week 15, 16, 17, Brady, 279 yards, 126 yards, 250 yards. And you're like, oh boy, it looks like the trend where, you know, he's maybe running out of steam, and then he shows up and does what he did yesterday. That's scary.
Someone 3 asks, how much is the NFL salivating at the possible TV ratings of a Boston versus LA Super Bowl? I think the Super Bowl now kind of transcends the markets.
And especially with these four teams.
Yeah.
Whatever you think of the Rams, they're bolstered by their market. Whereas the other three teams, I think, are just the Saints.
Patriots have a big following.
The Patriots have a massive following nationally. The Saints and Chiefs are in that second tier, where the Saints have more of a regional following, but it's a big regional following. Like, it's multiple states. It's a big chunk of the country.
It's the South, really. But the South is kind of split between the Falcons and the Saints.
Yeah. And then. And the Cowboys, but
yeah, well, Cowboys are kind of everywhere, just like the Patriots are everywhere.
And then the Chiefs they're another team that they don't have a massive national following, but they are one of the, you know, the handful of teams that you could say they've got a national following. So,
yeah, plus I just think it would be
people want to see Patrick Mahomes play
and Drew Brees, and
yeah.
And I think even if you had that Super Bowl matchup, that would be, you know, the two top MVP candidates. You'd have the new kid on the block. You'd have and that's the cool thing about both of these. You sort of have the young up and coming gunslinger against the old veteran in both of these.
Yep.
Mahomes versus Brady, and you've got Goff versus Breeze. But I think I don't think the ratings would be any better with an LA Boston than they would be with the other two teams, because I think the Super Bowl transcends that at this point. I think it matters in other sports more than it does this.
Yeah.
Because they're going to do numbers no matter what. All right.
And then we get Edelman is Welker 2.0. Wes Welker changed what slot receiver does. I mean, he had some serious success in Denver as well. So you're telling me he had success playing with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
And that changed everything.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I would guess when you're playing with those two guys, I mean, you're talking about the two best quarterbacks of our generation, then yeah, I mean, that is a game changer. But what was Wes Welker in Miami? He was a guy. I mean, that's once he got with Tom Brady and then, of course, goes to play with Peyton, he's a different animal.
Well, and that's the thing. How many guys leave the Patriots and succeed? And he did, but he went from Brady to Manning.
Yeah.
And Manning, when he was still at his very, very best up until that last season. So, I mean, not to denigrate what he did, but, I mean, I think that's the Patriots system. They like those little guys who can break tackles in the slot, and, you know, that's what they do. And Edelman's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah.
They both were. You'll get to play at the NFL in the slot level and put up those kind of numbers if you're not.
And Edelman had success for 1 year in Denver. I mean, once
Welker.
Success for 1 year in Denver. I mean, his second year there, and then where did he go? To the Rams after that? To the St. Louis Rams? That might be wrong. But, yeah, he was gone after that.
Well, if you're looking for a place to watch the games this weekend and you want to get the best wings possible, you know where you're going. Big City Wings. And they're on Uber Eats, which I have taken advantage of more than once because the food is fantastic. And you could the cool thing there is they've got specials every day. It's a family-friendly restaurant. They've got something on the menu for everyone. If you're not into wings, they get burgers. Those USDA-certified Angus beef burgers are incredible. The loaded baked potatoes, chicken tenders, and of course, the bone-in and boneless wings and more. And they make it all from scratch, which is great. You're getting terrific wings. I love this place. I loved this place before I was speaking for them. And daily specials like this, like today, let's say you're driving around, you can go to one of their locations, 70-cent chicken tenders all day. And 34-ounce Big Brew Night. How's that for a Monday? If you didn't get enough beer on the weekend, this is your place to do it. And we always got lunch specials Monday through Friday from 11 to 3. It's a great lunch place. Had a friend of mine text me pictures of the Big City Wings that he goes to for lunch 3 or 4 times a week now because he heard us talking about it. You can follow him on social media. Facebook, it's just Big City Wings. Same thing with Instagram. And Twitter is big_city_wings. And find the location nearest you. Just go to bigcitywings.com. Give them a try. You will love them. I love them. Bigcitywings.com.
ESPN 97.5. From the Gow Studios in Houston, you are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Tyler bringing some jam here today. Check out sportsmap.com. Right now there's a story up on Clint Capella being out 4 to 6 weeks with a thumb injury, which not good for your Rockets. Charlie Polillo has a video saying the divisional round exposes the gap between the Texans and the AFC's elite. And still have AJ's interview with Oscar De La Hoya up if you missed it from Friday. That's still we're keeping that up high on the page. Joel has a column on the Rockets being on the Texans' path. And James Harden, we have the Rockets report from Paul Muth. And if you check out those editor's picks, there's lots of good stuff on there. Just a really, really strong weekend for us. We posted a lot of things, and hopefully check it out, sportsmap.com. And Jermaine did his good, bad, and ugly for both the Saints and the NFL playoffs yesterday. So we worked all weekend, always for the people, trying to get stuff up for you guys.
So two things happened to me today at the gym.
Yeah?
One, I saw 5 guys wearing combat boots, like regular gym clothes, but then like lace-up combat boots. Have you guys noticed this trend at all?
No.
I've seen some pictures of people doing that, and I think it has to do with, like, if they're military or something, they just think that they're just going to work out in their combat boots. I don't know. If
some of these guys were clearly not military. I've got a pretty good eye for that stuff. And I don't know. I mean, it's not a good look, whatever it is. I don't know if it's got some sort of function, but it's not a good look. Secondly, I'm in there, I'm in the bathroom peeing, and this guy like rushes in and projectile vomits.
Oh,
you could hear it hit the wall. I mean, it's all over the floor, and it went on for like 4 or 5 seconds of just, I don't know what the hell. I mean, and then the poor guy's got to be in there. He's like cleaning it up with toilet paper. And I mean, it was just vile. And like it was seeping into the other stalls, like because he went into one of the stalls to do it. But there was so much pooled on the floor that it was like spreading out into others, like the blob.
Hmm. I wanted to go today. I'm glad that I didn't run into that, but I had to go deal with the car, which is I thought last year I had something similar happen, and it's just because it was cold that it just kind of affected it for some reason. And as it warmed up, it was fine. So I thought maybe that's the case today. So when I left, I was going to head to the gym, but then the lights started coming on again because we had meetings this morning. And so now I'm just waiting to find out what the damage is.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have my vehicle back because I'd like to get to the gym tomorrow. And I've got meetings here all afternoon and, you know, don't want to have to just Uber everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad Uber trip from my place. It's just, you know, I like having my car.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. I can't believe that that's a trend, though. Maybe that was just a group of guys.
I don't know. I hope you're right.
I don't know that I've seen that. So, somebody says the combat boot thing is a big fashion thing going on. Everyone in Hollywood is wearing them. Lame.
I'm against it.
So Hollywood starts the trend, of course.
Okay.
Speaking of which, how cool was that trailer for Game of Thrones last night before True Detective?
That was good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good thing.
I mean, that'll get you hyped.
I figured it out that there's 67 episodes if you want to rewatch the entire thing. If you start on February 6th, you can watch an episode a day, and you'll get in a full rewatch until the premiere.
Are you going to do that?
I might do that, yeah.
Since you've told the people that that's what you have to do?
Yeah. But actually, I'm probably going to start sooner just because I want to rewatch Game of Thrones.
It's funny. I've gone back and watched a few episodes here and there because over the holidays they were doing, like, I think they did through season 4. And most of them I found I did not enjoy as much as I did the first time. It's really weird because, especially, well, I remember not liking season 4 and then season 5 picked it back up. But like even episodes that I thought were really awesome, there was a lot of nothing for 55 minutes and then an amazing ending, which was my big beef with Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And then they took away the amazing endings, and I'm kind of,
and
okay,
then
I'm
it
out.
Just sucked. Yeah.
I'm ex-military, and every now and again I work out in my Oakley combat boots because I forgot my gym shoes, but my boots are the most comfortable shoes I own.
I guess so. But I mean, wouldn't you think it was weird if like some guy was like, oh, I'm a cowboy, but I wanted to go to the gym and I forgot my gym shoes, so I just wore my cowboy boots because they're comfortable. That would still be weird.
It might be weird, but if you're just lifting and stuff, then does it really matter?
It matters because I find it disturbing to see people wearing shorts with boots. It just throws me off.
The one that kind of throws me off is when women wear those winter boots in there.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's well, the fact is you don't need them here anyway. Although today it was
a little
cold.
Chilly.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not a fan of that look in the South. I mean, there's just no need for them. But in the gym, it's like okay, whatever. 713-780-ESPN. Jeez, you have more vomit stories than anybody I know.
I know.
I think you're a vomit magnet.
I might be.
That's not a good thing. there's a lot of things that you'd rather be a magnet to. How about like being a magnet for getting chips playing poker?
Boy, I'm hoping that actually happens this weekend.
I'm less excited about going out there because I got a better place right here in town.
Yeah, that's true.
With Lions Poker Palace. And right now, Monday and Tuesday, $4,000 guaranteed for a $50 buy-in. That's at 6:30. So if you want to go ahead, they have four separate tournaments. And Wednesday, 1 o'clock, they've got $5,000 guaranteed for their $60 Omaha tournament. And then 6:30 tomorrow night, $9,000, or Wednesday night, excuse me, for those two, $9,000 guaranteed for their 110 tournament. And Saturday, 1 p.m., $25,000 guaranteed. They're having huge weekends now. $25,000 guaranteed. Sunday at 1, $15,000 guarantee with a freeze out. And that's the one I'm looking forward to playing. They're going to put the games on there for you. And I'm telling you, George and Najib know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, they've changed up the way the tournament structures go. So make sure you check their Facebook and you check their website for what kind of tournaments they're playing out there. But they're still playing tournaments all the time, guys. And you can get in on one of these things and make yourself some money. It's great having legal poker here, but it's even better having what we've got here. And it's Lions Poker Palace, a world-class room right here in our own backyard. It really is nice, and the food's great. BYOB, which is always nice, save you some money on your baboos, so you can spend more at the tables. I mean, assuming you lose. We like to think that everyone's going to win. Doesn't always happen, but we like to think that. Lions Poker Palace, we tell you all the time, we can tell you about it, how great it is, and it is great, but until you go in and see it for yourself, we can't do it justice. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. Follow them on Facebook for all the information on their tournaments and things like that, what they've got going on, their specials. That's Lions Poker Palace.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.